2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. Now, without any further ado, let's welcome the host of this broadcast, Christina Sasso.
You know, the imagination was given to you from the Father. That's a gift to you. When you would think, well, what's the purpose of an imagination? Because he created us in his image. So everything that he's done and how he operates, we are supposed to follow that example. So when he created something, what did he do? He thought about it. He discussed it with Jesus. He discussed it with the Holy Spirit. When they created the earth, they had a little conference. They talked about it. We want to create man. We want to create him in our image. We're going to have a cup of coffee and talk about this up in heaven. What's he going to look like? He's going to look like us. What's he going to be like? He's going to be like us. He's going to have dominion over the earth just like us, blah, 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 blah. Listen, can you picture this? I can picture this. Yes, I understand what you're saying. Okay, we're all in agreement. Okay, let's make it so. And God started taking the next step in creation, which was to verbalize it, and he spoke it, and he spoke what he imagined into being, and now on and on we go if you read Genesis. Are we agreed on that? So that is our first step in creating what we want in our lives. We want to create by first picturing it in our mind. So we have to create everything that's been created around us first started as a picture in somebody's head. Whoever built this did not just grab a bunch of wood that was sitting there and start hammering it together. I have known nothing about carpentry or that much about carpentry, and I could pretty much be assured that that is not how this was created. I'm sure that there was a picture, bless you, first, and then there was a diagram, and then there was some cutting involved, and then putting it together, and then that's how this now is here. Yes? The car, everything was first created in somebody's mind, right? Do you agree? She says, I agree. We have to learn how to use our imagination for godly purposes, which is all good. It's all good stuff. What do you want in your life? What do you want to see change? Your five senses are so at the bottom of what you have available to you. We're living so small, and I'm including myself in this. We are living so small from what God has for us. We're not even tapping into, like, scratching the surface of what he has for us. Because we're living by what we see with our eyes, what we feel with our hands, what we taste, what we hear, what we smell. That's just, like, that's basic. The animals do that, right? Right? Like cockroaches do that. Don't you think God had something a little better for us? So we have to start using our imagination. So the first step in doing that is you really have to eliminate distraction. You cannot get into that place of meditation. Meditation is another word for imagination, right? You meditate on the word. Well, what does that mean? Well, you find a scripture, and then you start reading it, and you're like, oh, what does that mean? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. For me, I'm just giving you an example. For me, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, so that's what the word says. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Stripes. What does that mean? What does that look like? Now I'm picturing what it looks like. I'm picturing the stripes. I'm picturing the whipping. I'm picturing the skin ripped off. I'm imagining that. Wow. Like, he took all that so that I wouldn't have to be sick at all. No disease, no sickness, no allergies, no hangnails, no colds, no cancer, no arthritis, whatever, you name it, none of it. And you meditate on it. Well, what would that feel like? What would it feel like not to have arthritis? What would that feel like? For me right now, I'm working on what I don't like wearing readers, those reading glasses. I have one in every room, a pair in every room, and I don't like it. I don't want to have to put on glasses to read. So every once in a while, I pick up something and I try and read it because I know I'm healed. And I read it and I'm like, okay, it's getting better because I'm healed. I have perfect vision. I say I have 20/20 vision. Frank's like, no, it's 20/10. 20/10 is even better than 20/20. I have perfect vision. So I'm speaking and I'm imagining it. I'm doing it. And that's my process. And that works for anything, finances, relationships, whatever. Anything, so your imagination. You have to put it to work. And as I said, you cannot do it if you're distracted. And there's where the devil comes in, and he does not want you to use your imagination, because he also knows the power of your imagination. So, what do we have today? Oh, we have all these wonderful things. We have an iPad and a phone and a phone and a phone and a phone. And I'm amazed, and I'm guilty too. Like, I'm walking down the street in Philadelphia and nobody's looking anywhere except where they're at their phone. I'm like, people standing on the corner just looking at their phone. Now they're not even talking. No one's talking on the phone. They're all just looking at the phone. And, you know, whatever, your Facebook, texting. And I am guilty. I'm not a phone person. I'm never a phone person. So when texting came along, I was like, oh, this is like a gift from heaven. Because I will text you before I will ever call you or even pick up the phone if you call me. So, but still, distraction. And the other night, Frank was in the park. He goes, there were 30 kids. He comes home. It was Wednesday night. He goes, there's 30 kids in the park, and they're playing Pokemon. He's like, is that a thing? Is this a thing? Wasn't that over like 10 years ago? And I'm like, I don't know. That night, I was on Facebook, and I'm like, Pokemon is everywhere. Like, what happened? Like, I don't know. I missed it. Like, one day it was obsolete. The next day, everyone is, I still really don't understand it, and I don't care. But do you see how the devil can distract us? Just, you know, put some stupid little thing and like people will run around the world. I think people got killed already because they got hit by cars. Do you see how the devil is such a punk? He wants you to think about everything else and forget what you're entitled to. So he keeps you living here, thinking about your bills, and thinking about Pokemon, and thinking about Facebook, and thinking about, I don't even know what's on TV, whatever show is on. And meanwhile, life is passing you by. You still haven't figured out what your purpose is. And you're still sick, and you're still broke. I'm not saying you guys, but I'm saying the world. And he's just deceived generations. And I am not going to put up with it anymore. So you have to make time to, because I used to go and sit, and I used to go, I'm going to go sit and be with the Lord, and I have my phone there. And then I'd be like, oh, let me just check. And then I'm looking, how long did I just spend doing, reading about somebody's, you know, latest bowel movement? Who cares? Like, why did I do this? It's just a waste of time. I could have spent that hour learning how to translocate myself. Really, I'm serious. I'm not kidding. So, imagination. You need to make time for it. Believe me, I know how difficult it is. It's so easy to get distracted today, especially. I mean, I think it's always been, but I think more and more and more, as we get closer to the end, the devil's ramping it up. He's really making a concerted effort to keep you just live along the surface, just keep going. You're okay, you're gonna go to heaven, that's okay. Which, of course, it's more than okay. But I mean, you're not fulfilling your purpose. We're not living, remember in the Bible the story of Babel? Okay, that was after the fall, correct? Just correct me if I'm wrong. It was after Adam fell. Yet people were building a building that was going into heaven. So much so that God had to confuse the language. How smart were these people? And that was Old Testament, before Jesus came. Imagine our capacity to create with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Meditate on that. Imagine that. So that was the first thing, imagination. The second thing is the impossible. All right, now, I'll ask you a couple questions. The Tower of Babel. Do you think that was impossible to build a structure that would go up into heaven? I guess it wasn't. God didn't think it was impossible, right? Do you think it's impossible to raise someone from the dead? I don't know. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. Do you think it's impossible to be here 1 second and then be in Philadelphia the next second? It's in the Bible. Philip did it. So why aren't we doing these things? Well, I think it's imagination and the impossible have to link up. You have to start thinking about doing the impossible. Because I'm not telling you anything that you shouldn't do, because I think it says somewhere in the Bible that nothing is impossible with God. That was the second thing. So I said imagination was one word that kept recurring to me. The second was nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, right. So that was one of the recurring themes. When we do our because I'm the exercise lady. So when we do our exercising, one of the tracks in our program is nothing is impossible. So I just keep, you know, I'm just keep listening to that song. Just let that run on a loop in my head, because I want to meditate. I want to imagine what it's like. Because I really want to do this. I want to be able to translocate. And if one person did it, I can do it. And I think there's other places in the Bible where people were translocated. There's debate about whether people can fly. Because Jesus did ascend, right? So is that flying? I think we could fly. Nothing is impossible. Because here's, now, I don't know if some of you were here for my quantum leap conversation. We know about that much about physics. I mean, this much. And the more we scientists learn, the more they're going to prove God exists. Because I believe that there are realms. We only live in 3 or 4 dimensions. There are hundreds of dimensions. As beings created by a Father in heaven, we can step out of those 4 dimensions, right? That sounds impossible. What else is impossible? Oh, we were talking about going to the moon. Now, my parents grew up during the Depression and during World War II. And if you said to them, oh, we're gonna send a man up into space and go to the moon, they might have said that's impossible, right? They sent a man up into the moon with less technology than you have on your phone right now. that you have more technology on your phone than they had when they went to the moon. Doesn't that sound crazy impossible? You would think, oh my goodness, they must have had a, you know. No, no. Your phone is smarter than Apollo 11, which went to the moon. That's amazing to me. It's not, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible, okay? There we go. Everything is possible with God. So why are we limiting ourselves? And we're thinking about, how do I pay the rent? You could translocate yourself to India. How cool would that be? You want to go on a mission trip. You know, God's calling me to minister in India. I'm going to need a plane and a... No, I'm just going to go. All right, what time you want to leave? Well, we have to be there at 1, so it's 12:30 now. Why don't we go now and get lunch and then minister? Cool, let's go. Bink, we're there. We're in India. Another thing I want to do is I want to be able to speak every language. Or maybe just speak English, but everybody in the room, no matter what country they're from, they understand me. And when they talk to me, I understand them. I don't think that's impossible. Oh, I want to tell your little story. Yes. Okay. All right. Okay, so I think God is preparing, I don't know about you, but I want to talk about me. I think God is preparing me, but I would like to say he's preparing you too, for the supernatural. All right, so if you're going to start believing that in the supernatural, you're going to have to start believing that nothing is impossible. All right, so we want to see people raised from the dead, yes? We want to see arms grow back, right? We want to see millions of people accept Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, yes? We want the whole world to proclaim Jesus as Lord, yes? Okay, so we're going to have to start with something. Right? So we have to start believing in the supernatural. We have to know that it's real. It's real. It's more real than reality is real. Because reality is just like the Matrix. It's just an image. It's smoke and mirrors. Because the doctor can tell you, well, sir, the reality is that the x-rays show that blah, 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 blah. And you can say, well, I don't believe in reality. I believe in truth. And that never changes. Oh, I don't know. Does anybody get the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine? Did you read that article, the Creflo Dollar article? Well, read it. It's so cool. I just tell you a quick thing about his negative. He got a bad diagnosis, a poor report. This was a few years ago. He said nothing. He went home, he prayed, he didn't even tell his wife. He spoke positive words, he meditated and imagined the healing scriptures, washed himself in that, went back, they did an MRI, he said, and the doctor was looking at it, and it was something in his back too, They took an image of his back, and the doctor said, do you see that? There was a bearded man in the image on the screen. And Creflo Dollar heard Jesus say, you see, I got your back. Like, I get chills thinking about that. Oh, that's impossible. Yeah, well, you believe that, and I'll believe anything's possible. Thank you very much. But, okay, so we have to start believing in the supernatural. You want to call me crazy, then fine. I'll be happily crazy with Jesus, okay, and the Holy Spirit, doing crazy things, flying around and translocating, and yes, call me crazy. So here's the story. Frank gets me a Surface, a Microsoft Surface, which I love. But it has this little issue of charging. It won't charge while you're using it. It only charges when you put it to sleep. So you could be in the middle of using it and the charge runs out. So he goes, I'll take it to Quaker Bridge Mall, because there's an Apple store there, so of course there's got to be a Microsoft store. I'll take it to Quaker Bridge Mall and I'll see if they can help me. So why don't you finish the story?
So I take it to Quaker Bridge Mall, I go to the Microsoft store, And I made a point, I saw the Apple Store, and I walked past the Apple Store, and I went to the Microsoft Store. And I said, hi. I said, this isn't working, blah, blah, blah. He says, oh, just, you know, do this and this, and then if you have a problem with it, bring it back. I said, fine. So, brought it home, working with it, seemed to be working fine, and then it started up again, right? Mm-hmm. And we said, let's bring it back and, you know, see what the next step to do. Because we were already out. So I said, let's go there today. I'll bring the Microsoft Surface with me. We'll go after the gym. We'll go, because we'll be right over there.
So we go there. We're looking at the directory. We see Apple. I don't see the Microsoft Store. There's no Microsoft Store. Oh, they left? They moved? No, no. So we go to the kiosk where the information lady is. Where's your Microsoft? Oh, there's no Microsoft Store in Quaker Bridge Mall. There's one at Freehold Mall. I'm like, oh, but there was one, right? She goes, no, there was never a Microsoft Store in Quaker Bridge Mall. There's one in Freehold and one in Cherry Hill or, I don't know, somewhere else, far away. And he's like, I spoke to someone in the Microsoft Store in this mall. Now I'm like, let's not bother these ladies with this, okay? Because they're like, yeah, right, sure, you did, sir. So now I'm like, what is this? What is this? Did you forget where you went? He's like, I'm telling you, I came to this mall and went to the Microsoft Store and spoke to a guy and went home. I don't know where I was. So I'm thinking, and then I felt like the Lord spoke to me. He's like, you want to believe in the supernatural? You can't believe this? Like, maybe he was in, I don't know with what mall he was in, but he was in a Microsoft Store and walked out of the store, was back at the Quaker Bridge Mall, and then went home. And I feel like you have to be open to crazy, what the world would say is crazy stories, like money appearing in your hand, $100 bills, that's happened, or in your coffee. It sounds like, oh, that's crazy, like a bicycle appearing at your front door. Like, don't, if you want it, then you gotta believe it. So you gotta use your imagination, and you have to believe in the impossible. The third piece is love, all right? The third piece is love. Because it says love never fails. God never fails. Jesus never fails. I'm just gonna play you a little clip. We saw this movie last night. It's called Interstellar. I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was gonna be like that other movie. What was that other movie with Sandra Bullock? Gravity, space movie. Here's how I view movies. Westerns, way, way down here. Space movies, like real, not like Star Trek space movies, but like real space movies, maybe like that much. When I was a kid, I used to watch Lost in Space. Whoever remembers that? How old are you? Okay, yes. Freaked me out. I'm like, I am never going into space. And I used to go to bed, I'm never going into space. I'm never, like, I don't want to forget that I said I'm never going to go. I don't want to get lost in space and float around forever. No. So I hate the idea of being in space. Like that is just, it's too quiet, it's cold. So anyway, I said, all right, we'll watch this movie. Because I wasn't sure if it was really a space movie, but it was very cool. And there was one scene in it, and this is what got me thinking about all these little pieces of the puzzle. Let me set it up. Okay, so they're in space, the Earth is dying, they're trying to look for alternate places to put humanity. They've sent out these probes, and they're trying to decide now. They have limited fuel, they have limited resources, they have two choices. Should we go to this planet or this planet and figure if we can settle? And they're having a conversation about it, right? So let's just watch the video. And this got me really thinking, so I have to go home and meditate some more after this. But go ahead, just the video.
I really believe Edmonds is the better prospect.
Why?
Gargantua, that's why. Look at Miller's planet. Hydrocarbons, organics, yes. But no life. Sterile. Why the same thing on man's?
Because of the black hole.
Murphy's Law. Whatever can happen will happen. Accident is the first building block of evolution, but when you're orbiting a black hole, not enough can happen. It sucks in asteroids and comets, other events which would otherwise reach you. We need to go further afield.
You once said that Dr. Mann
was the best of us.
He's remarkable. And we're only here because of him.
And yet here he is. He's on the ground. And he's sending a very unambiguous message telling us to come to his planet.
Granted, but Edmund's data is more promising.
We should vote. Well, if we're going to vote, there's something you should know. Rand, he has a right to know.
That has nothing to do with it.
What does? She's in love with Wolf Edmonds.
Is that true?
Yes. And that makes me want to follow my heart. But maybe we've spent too long trying to figure all this out with theory.
You're a scientist, Bran.
So listen to me. When I say that love isn't something we invented, it's observable, powerful. It has to mean something.
Love has meaning, yes. Social utility, social bonding, child rearing.
We love people who have died. Where's the social utility in that?
None.
Maybe it means something more, something we can't yet understand. Maybe it's some evidence, some artifact of a higher dimension that we can't consciously perceive. I'm drawn across the universe to someone I haven't seen in a decade, who I know is probably dead. Love is the one thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends dimensions of time and space. Maybe we should trust that, even if we can't understand it yet.
And that's where your imagination comes in, believing in the impossible, and it all operates through the power of love. So come along with me on this journey. Help me out. I love you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.